Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Yes, indeed. The second half of the program begins right now. Seren Petro with you. Thank you for joining us here on an ugly Friday. Right at freezing, be careful. The roads, I know I've seen some people, some pictures of icicles out there, so the roads could be getting a little bit dangerous as we're right down around the freezing mark with the rain coming. The good news is better weather coming for the weekend. Let's get going with the drill around the country, 2 minutes at a time. Talking to the people, covering the stories where they're happening. We'll start in Dallas, Texas. That's where our friend Ari Temkin is, 105.3. The Fan, he'll be later, I'm told, because we're going to start with Chase McCabe in Nashville, Tennessee, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Not bad. Kind of rude cutting in front of Ari like that. That or I made an obvious mistake that I shouldn't have.
Listen,
I'll let the listeners.
Listen, as a Cowboys fan, like I feel bad about doing that. So, you know, but, hey, I'm happy to talk Titans.
Yes, and we are happy to talk Titans as well. Derrick Henry signs his franchise tag. Tell me, you know, he's not the first. Sheriff, the Redskins guard, did this as well. Generally speaking, you get the franchise tag, you enjoy it 3-4 weeks into training camp, sign, come back for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and play. Why is he signing this early? Is this an indication that a multi-year deal is coming down the road very soon?
I would think so, but I think it's more of a indication of just how good of a person Derrick Henry is and good of a teammate that he is. I don't think he wants this to be contentious. I don't think the organization wants this to be contentious. John Robinson did a what's the popular thing these days, a Zoom call, a conference call with the media earlier this week. And, you know, of course, Derrick Henry's name came up and he said, we obviously want him here. We want to have a long-term deal, but nothing is coming around the corner right now. They're just continuing the conversations with him and hoping to get it done. But I think it's just a step in the process. I mean, he could hold out. I don't necessarily see it, but I think that he went ahead and signed it and just to get that going. And hopefully by training camp, they get a long-term deal done because they have to.
If he doesn't get a long-term deal done, like this is one of the things, I don't think Chris Jones is on the franchise tag here in Kansas City. If they don't get a long-term deal, I don't think Chris Jones is showing up. If Henry doesn't get a long-term deal, is he going to show up and play, or will he hold out?
That's the million-dollar question, or multi-million-dollar question, I should say. But I think knowing him like I do as a teammate and how he's acted since he got here, I think he will show up. But, you know, I could be wrong. And I wouldn't blame him if he didn't, just because that position is so unique. We actually talked to Eddie George yesterday and asked him his thoughts on it. And he said, listen, he's a unique back, so he deserves a unique contract. I know a lot of people are going to look at running backs, you know, and he named himself and Chris Johnson and others that have gotten the deals and it just hasn't worked out. But he's the face of the franchise. You have to pay the face of the franchise. And so I think that ultimately they're going to figure this out. And so if I'm Derrick Henry, then I probably do show up. I show that I'm committed to this team. You know, I show that, especially in a time where you're probably not going to have OTAs. You're going to just have training camp, hopefully, if all of this goes away soon. So I think that that's probably going to be his choice, or he's going to have to he's going to have to show up and try and get this deal done. But hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully they just get it worked out before then.
All right, let's turn our attention to basketball. Jerry Stackhouse came to Vanderbilt. Big, big hype. You know, he's running a high-level AAU program. It's kind of linked to Juwan Howard, who wasn't running an AAU program. But, you know, hey, young guy, had success. He's going to be able to recruit. We're seeing Juwan Howard do that at Michigan. We're not seeing it at Vanderbilt. Where is the level of concern? Because their recruiting class is the worst in the SEC, or maybe second worst to Missouri. I'm not sure. I'd have to go look. But it's bad. What's the reaction right now on the job Stackhouse is doing at Vandy?
Yeah, well, it's I think it's pretty good, because I think if you look at this year, even though, you know, they didn't do a whole lot, they did win some SEC games, and that's something that Bryce Drew couldn't do last year, and the cupboard was bare when Stackhouse got here. And he's going to lose, you know, Naismith to the NBA draft, so that hurts. You know, the time will tell on some other players, but the buy-in for him was strong. And these players went out there and they didn't quit. They knew that they, you know, they had some work to do and they have to just continue to grow. But I think that that's the positive. As for the recruiting front, I mean, yeah, that's got to get better, because you say what you want about Bryce Drew. He did bring in some All-Americans and then just couldn't do anything with them. You know, granted, some of them got hurt. But I think that that's where Jerry Stackhouse is going to have to get stronger. That's where his assistants are going to have to help, because they've dumped a lot of money into basketball at Vanderbilt. And so I think that Jerry Stackhouse is just going to have to keep working at it. As somebody that has an NBA background and not a collegiate background from a coaching standpoint, but I know a lot of people are very happy with him. They liked what happened in the first year, and now it's just, how can you build on it?
All right. Flip side, though, is Tennessee. Rick Barnes continues to recruit. He's got a top five recruiting class. When he came, I know last year was a step back from what was a very good year 2 years ago, but it looks like another wave of talent is coming in. When Rick Barnes was brought in, did people think it'd be as good as it looks like it's going to keep being?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were hoping it would be even better. Listen, here's my thoughts on Rick Barnes. He's been there 5 years. They've had two tournament appearances in that time. It was looking like they weren't going to make it this year unless they had just a strong showing in the SEC tournament. So, for me, like, I got to see a lot out of him next season. And I know there's a ton of talent coming in, but it's what can he do with it? That is going to be the big question with Rick Barnes, because I personally just haven't been as impressed with him as some people. And, you know, look, you can say, well, they've gone to, you know, they've made runs in the tournament, but they also got knocked out, I think, the first time that he went pretty early on. So I need to see a lot. This is the prove-it year for me, for Rick Barnes, with all that talent coming in there. That's just my personal opinion.
All right. And then let me, yeah, I mean, listen, you can always go and hire Shaka Smart, right? That's what Texas did. See how that's worked out for him. Jeremy Pruitt, last one. Jeremy Pruitt, what's the feeling on the job he's doing in getting the Vols football team turned around?
That one's been fun, because if you had asked me, you know, probably week three last year, I was like, he's not making it to the end of the season. He's getting fired. We talked about it on our show quite a bit, of there's no way this guy is going to survive. This was the worst hire they could have made. I mean, it was, the sky is falling. Now everybody's kind of going, okay, well, it's looking pretty good. And, you know, they had a decent recruiting class, and the SEC East, you know, seems to be a division that they can compete in. Georgia's still probably got it, or Florida, but I think Tennessee's looking pretty good, especially with how the season ended. So there's a lot of optimism around here in Nashville and in Knoxville with Jeremy Pruitt. But, you know, there have been some additions and subtractions to the staff. It's how is that turnover going to work? And, you know, can he build off what they did last year? Because now Vols fans are going to forget about the first two games of the season and two games that they should have won that they lost. They're going to count those in their mind as wins. And so they're going to expect, you know, okay, 9 wins, let's get 10 wins. Let's get 11 wins. Let's get in a New Year's Six bowl game. So there's going to be some expectations now from the fan base, and I think you have to temper those a little bit. But I do expect the Vols to look much better and to continue to build in year three for Pruitt.
Chase McCabe in Nashville, Tennessee. Great stuff, my friend. Stay healthy, stay safe, and have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. Appreciate it. Guys, it's scripted
Detroit. And Jim Costa, ESPN 96.1 and WDFN 1130 in Detroit, Michigan, is next. Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing as good as I can right now.
Yeah, right. We all are, yeah. And everybody trying to do their part, and we hope that you and your family are healthy and safe, first and foremost.
Same to yours.
Yeah, thank you. Let's start with the Lions. They signed Reggie Ragland, a guy who had an up-and-down time here in Kansas City. Just tell me, what's the Detroit perspective of what they acquired there when they got Ragland signed?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. The Lions continue to add linebackers this offseason. Jamie Collins was the first big domino. Reggie Ragland, another pretty sizable one. Keep in mind, They drafted a first-round linebacker a few years back in Jared Davis and one in the second last year in Jelani Savai. And I think head coach Matt Patricia is trying to find the right mix of linebackers so that he can play different linebackers for different situations, down and distance, whether it's blitzing guys, people who can cover over the middle. The Lions have had a really tough time covering tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. So I think Patricia's trying to get the necessary tools to mix and match based on the opponent in a given week.
Yeah, Raglan, a guy that really had been just a pure middle linebacker and maybe looked miscast as a 3-4 middle linebacker, and you thought, okay, they're going to the 4-3. That'll be him. That'll be the Mike spot. Instead, he ended up playing outside, kind of a hybrid defensive end, which, you know, kind of fits maybe the way they played in New England. So I can see what they saw, the diversity he showed this year and playing a lot of different roles for Steve Spagnuolo. It had to be part of what the attraction was there. Any news, any update on what they're doing at pick number 3? And does the fact that Tua Tagovailoa is reportedly passing all the physicals with flying colors changing their mind about maybe thinking quarterback?
Yeah, it's always been a topic of conversation because of Matthew Stafford's back injuries each of the last two seasons. You're always going to have the conversation, do you need to have a quarterback in place long term if there's concerns with Stafford? And, you know, there's certainly a thought, well, are you swapping out one injured quarterback in Stafford for another in Tua? But as you mentioned, him saying I'm 100% and I can go out there and I could play today, I think that reignites some of the conversation, especially when you hear that Washington is pretty keen on Chase Young. So it puts the Lions in the position where they hold all the cards. They're the power player. If they want Tua, they can take Tua. If they decide, hey, Stafford's got a pretty good track record, we need help on defense, then they become the power broker, and they get to field phone calls from teams like Miami and Los Angeles and create a bidding war. I think that's also a pretty advantageous spot for Detroit to be in right now. So I think as Tua gets more of clean bills of health and continues to create a little more of a feeding frenzy, the Lions are in the perfect position to capitalize.
Yeah, and of course, at the quarterback position, Chase Daniel, maybe my favorite NFL player ever. Nobody's made more money while exposing their body to less hits than my man Chase Daniel. But he's a good dude, and I think he knows football, and I think he is a good sign for the Detroit Lions there as a backup. But I just absolutely adore his career. He's going to play until he's like 40, and then he's going to be an offensive coordinator like 2 years later and have one of the great NFL careers just all along when it's all said and done. I think that's fantastic. Tell me about what the reaction is with Tom Izzo and the reports coming out that he contacted a witness. This is in the past. This was back in 2017, but contacting a witness in a sexual assault case involving one of his players, what all is going on here and what will it mean for Izzo and his Spartan program?
Yeah, now the university has come out in support of Tom Izzo, and in large part, the Spartan fan base is very supportive of Tom Izzo. Now, anytime you're reaching out to people who are involved in an investigation, and you're stepping over a line there, and I don't want to mince words. That should not happen and cannot happen. I think Izzo had built up quite a bit of cachet here, and he's known as a guy who likes reaching out to people, likes being there for people, and I think that's what a lot of people are chalking it up to. But you read the headline and you say, oh, Tom, you can't do that. You cannot be interfering. Even if you're not interfering, you can't give off the appearance that you're interfering into something as serious as that.
Yeah, but you don't think it ends up being something that could ultimately mean the exit of Tom Izzo?
At this point, I don't. I understand why people would view it as such. I just know he is held in high regard by those in charge at Michigan State, and that incident in and of itself I don't think is going to be enough to cause him to lose his job at this stage.
Okay. Tell me, how giddy are Michigan fans when it comes to what Juwan Howard is doing recruiting-wise? They peaked early as far as the rankings go last year, but another great class coming in for him. I would assume there's a lot of confidence that this program is going to be back to being a regular in the top 10.
Yeah, you mentioned the hot start. They ended up beating Gonzaga on a neutral court in November. I mean, the Zags might have been one of the top teams in college basketball if we had played the tournament out. So that was a big feather in the cap for Juwan Howard early. Certainly weathered the storm in the early part of the Big Ten play and had put Michigan in the position to make the NCAA tournament in his very first year. And that's without all of his guys, without the five-star players and the high-level four-star players that he's received commitments for. And I think, you know, the big question with Juwan Howard was, is he going to be a good coach? It was clear he loved Michigan. It was clear he had name recognition and cachet. But the thought was, what happens when you got to call a play out of a timeout? You know, what happens with the in-game adjustments? A guy who had never been in that position before, you know, did they hire a super fan with a big name, or did they hire someone who has the chops to turn into a good college basketball coach? And he's checked the boxes on recruiting. He's checked the boxes on being a great ambassador. And I think you saw growth throughout the season for him. When they got into trouble in Big Ten play, they were refusing to double on the post because they didn't want to give up threes. But with so many great post players in the Big Ten, you saw Juwan say, all right, I got to make adjustments. And I think they did make adjustments down the stretch, playing some different lineup combinations. And I thought he grew a lot as a head coach. And I think despite the fact that Michigan didn't finish at the top of the Big Ten, Michigan fans are very excited for future top finishes in the coming years.
Great stuff, Jim Costa in Detroit, Michigan. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend, my friend. Stay healthy.
You too. Same to you too. You too.
I feel good.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
He was there for Montana Magic at Arrowhead.
Back to pass, Montana. Cox his arm. Looks right. No one there. Looks left. Throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Yeah! Joe Montana has done it again!
He was there for the drought breaker in Houston.
Niall Davis starts the playoffs with a bang! 106 yards! Touchdown, Chiefs!
And he was there for everything in between.
And it's crazy. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. It's a terrific grace, ladies and gentlemen, of humanity.
No one knows the Chiefs better. He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Yes, indeed. Adam Teicher, been covering the Chiefs since 1994. He joins us here on our Sprint guest line. Always great to talk to you, Adam. Adam brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. K10 in Ridgeview. Go to familyleisure.com. A great time to get yourself some patio furniture. As we're all social distancing, you need someplace to sit outside. It's where I got my patio furniture. We've just added to the set over the years. Now 16, 17 years I've had my patio furniture. It is absolutely fantastic. I got it at Family Leisure, and, of course, all your pool and spa supplies. They got you covered. They'll even deliver it at home. All right, go to familyleisure.com. You can get the phone number. Of course, there's spring sale going on right now, but have your pool supplies delivered to your house. That is courtesy of our friends at Family Leisure. Take advantage of the great opportunities right now with the spring sale at Family Leisure. Adam Teicher with us on our Sprint guest line. Adam, how are you, sir?
Good, Trent. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. The weather sucks, but at least it's only going to be like one day, and then we're supposed to get back to more spring weather. So that at least, just makes today kind of a, an interlude till we can get some better weather. And we got some good news, I think, right? I guess it depends on if Sammy Watkins means no Chris Jones. There might be some Chiefs fans that are frustrated. But let's start with Sammy Watkins. Your thoughts about the fact that they brought him back and they get him to take a pay cut.
Yeah. I mean, you wondered, the longer this went on, it seems like more leverage Sammy Watkins might have had, just because the Chiefs have to do something. We knew that. They the closer we get to the draft, they have to clear some cap room. So, but it tells you he was obviously motivated to stay as well. So, good deal. You mentioned Chris Jones and how this impacts him. You know, a lot of people seem to be of the mind, and a lot of I've talked to Chiefs fans are, well, hey, you know, looks like we're going to have to pick between the two. Why don't we just let Watkins go and sign Chris Jones? Well, the Chiefs, to some extent, controlled the Sammy Watkins thing. He was under contract. He's under contract to them. They don't control Chris Jones. I mean, they do to an extent. I mean, he's their franchise player. He can't go anywhere, but unless the Chiefs say so. But if the Chiefs let go of Watkins, what guarantee do they have that Jones is going to play for them? So the Chiefs would have lost, there's a chance the Chiefs would have lost both of those guys. So, you know, hanging on to one for sure, maybe the other one we'll find out as we go along. But I do like the move by the Chiefs. I think they showed some pretty good discipline and some pretty good patience here and got the job done.
Do you think, and listen, I don't think, I'll just ask you real quick, we can cover this in just a few seconds. I don't think Chris Jones is showing up without a long-term deal. Do you agree?
Well, no, I think, I just can't imagine him turning down $16 million. I mean, I think that might be his plan right now. I don't think we're going to see him for a while. We may not see anybody for a while, but you know, I do think that you know, Chris Jones will play this out for a while. But when push comes to shove, are you going to turn down $16 million? I mean, keep in mind that he's not made a ton of money, relatively speaking, in his career. You know, somewhere around $6-7 million is what he's been paid during his 4 years with the Chiefs. And while that's good money, it's not you know, what he. It's not $16 million. So it's hard to see him turning that down and wasting a year of his career. So, you know, I think that's his plan right now, but when push comes to shove, we'll see where he is with all this.
Yeah, wasting a year of his career or using the leverage to get traded. I mean, I think that's kind of where Frank Clark was, and he got what he wanted. You know, I just – okay, so you're not convinced that he'll hold out, so we'll just set that aside. We don't need to – you know, we'll see, right? Only time will tell whether or not that's going to happen. I'm of the opinion he won't show. If you'll hold out of OTAs and minicamps last year to make a point, you were revved and ready to go already, and so I think he's going to hold out. Can you see the scenario that they sign Chris Jones back? They play, like, if they played right now with him at 16-1, my assumption is they carved out just enough room to have their draft, to have their 5-pick draft. They've only got three corners. And collectively, I need to look up the number. I'll look it up while we're talking here. How many starts each of their corners actually have in the league? Because it's definitely not many. That's for sure. But you know, do you think that they can just add Chris Jones, draft 5 guys, and this is going to be their squad? Or do they have more moves they need to make, and therefore there's more cuts that have to come at some point?
Yeah, I think there's more moves to be made. I mean, this buys them a little bit of breathing room for now. But just look at last year as an example. You have to go into a season with some cap room. You know, they're going to be picking up guys as they go along. You know, the list of guys that the Chiefs picked up at some point last season, during the season, is pretty long. Guys like Terrell Suggs and Mike Pinnell and LeSean McCoy, and you know, I'm forgetting a bunch. You know, Matt Moore they picked up. I mean, you got to go into you got to have some cap room in your back pocket going into a season, so you can replace guys who get injured or make improvements if that's what you want to do. So, you know, the $5 million doesn't get them. It gets them for now. It gets them where they need to be, but they're going to need more breathing room. So. You know, whether it's with Chris Jones and trading him, which would certainly do the trick, or with somebody else. They're going to have to figure something else between now and when this thing gets going.
All right. And by the way, I looked it up. Total starts by the cornerbacks on the Chiefs roster right now. Do you know how many it is?
Well, Ward's got 16, and that's probably it, right?
They're showing Ward with 18, that he got 16 this year and 2 last year.
Okay. Okay,
so
that's right.
18,
yeah, that's right.
Fenton has 0, and Hamilton has 2.
Okay. So 18 in the Chiefs uniform. Yeah, they got some work to do there.
And it's 82 total games played.
Yeah, so they got some work to do, and they can use a veteran, and just so happens that Bashaud Breeland's unsigned, right? So, you know, would it surprise you to see him coming back at this point?
To see Breeland?
I
think if Breeland comes back, then Chris Jones has got to be dealt, doesn't he? Or signed to an extension that brings that $16 million number way down.
Yeah, I would think that's right. But, you know, I'm not holding out a lot of hope on a long-term deal with Chris Jones. I mean, they've been talking about this for more than a year now and still can't figure it out. So, either one side or both is going to have to move quite a bit off their positions on this if this is going to get done. So to me, that's the least likely of the scenarios. Between Chris Jones being traded, Chris Jones signing the one-year franchise deal, or Chris Jones signing a long-term deal, I would think that's the least likely of the three.
The longer that Bashaud Breeland's out, the more likely he's to come back to Kansas City, or the more likely he's going somewhere else?
No, I would think it's more likely he comes back to the Chiefs, but they've got to clear some cap room. You know, they can't get him done with, you know, maybe they could at this moment, but with the draft coming up, they're going to have some room in their cap for that. So, maybe they just told him to be cool and we're coming back to you at some point. I think the more time goes on, the better chance he does come back.
What kind of contract are we talking about for Bashaud Breeland? He'll be 28 this next year, his 28-year-old season for whatever that's worth. What are we talking about? I mean, the high end of the cornerback contracts were 5 for $82.5 million for Byron Jones. Guys like Josh Norman and Ronald Darby got 1 year, $4 million. And he's 26. It is a guy that at one time was thought very highly of, and Chiefs fans were wanting. 27-year-old Jalen Watkins got 2 for $3 million. I'm looking up here. Let's go to some of the bigger ones. Kendall Fuller got 4 for $40 million. Trey Waynes got 3 for $42 million. James Bradbury got 3 for $43.5 million. Chris Harris got 2 for $17 million. What are we talking about here for Breeland?
If you asked me right before free agency started, who was going to get a bigger deal, Breeland or Kendall Fuller, I would have said Bashaud Breeland, you know?
Yeah.
He's still only 27. He had a good year last year, kind of a full-service corner, not a slot guy, but, he plays on the outside, a good tackler, will stick his nose in on the run. So, I would have thought he would have gotten a bigger deal, but then Kendall Fuller just blew me away with $10 million a year. So some good money for some corners this year. A lot of that money's been spent. So if he doesn't have a deal now, I wouldn't think he'd be getting $10 million a year, but he'll get something good, and then it well could be with the Chiefs.
I think the thing with Fuller is he's 25. You feel like all 4 years are in play for him to play at a high level. The other thing is when you dig into the deal, there's $23.5 million guaranteed, so they're going to give him that much. But the first year, the cap number is only $4.1 million. He got $12.5 million to sign and $1 million base. Next year's $10 million. Is all that's guaranteed. You got to pay him, but you could cut it and walk away. I mean, to me, it's basically a 2-year deal with the first couple of years, guaranteed. That's what he's got out of the deal. I could see, Breeland getting, again, that's $11.5 million per if it ends up being 2 for $23 million when it's all said and done. Maybe actually be 24 he'd get if he played, was on the team, but 23.5 is what he's guaranteed. I would have thought Breeland was going to get the 3 for like 27 was what I was thinking he was going to get out there, but it doesn't look like at age 27 teams want to give him 3 years.
Yeah. And, here's one thing to remember with the Chiefs and Breeland and anybody else for that matter. You look at all the guys they've signed this year. There haven't been a ton, but they've re-signed some of their own guys, and then they've added 3 or 4 guys from the outside. Every one of those guys, except Chad Henne, was on a 1-year contract. Henne's on a 2-year contract. So it's obvious the Chiefs aren't interested in or haven't been so far in taking on long-term commitments here. So that's maybe something to look for with Breeland as well, that it's going to be a shorter deal or maybe structured like the Fuller deal where there may be more years on it, but it's something they can get out of at a relatively cheap cost after a year or two. So we'll see what happens with him, but they certainly appear like they're preparing for a big Mahomes contract and aren't interested in taking on any long-term debt beyond what they've already got.
The contract that was signed by Jared Goff, who is the highest paid guy, that was a high draft pick that got the four-year extension when the team still controlled him for 2 years. If we're to use that as our guide, his first year, last year on the contract, he counted $10 million against the cap. I think Mahomes is slotted at, I'll look it up, I think it's slotted for about $5.5 million right now is where he's supposed to count. Let me see. Yeah, $5.3 million. He's supposed to count against the cap this year. So if we're to say he gets a $10 or $11 million deal, they've still got to cut out $5 or $6 million for him. And these one-year deals, is this just like, hey, this is the final year that he's going to be cheap? Next year he'll still be a value, a bargain, because he'll probably go up. Goff in the second year, this year, he goes to, well, wow, he goes clear to a cap hit of 36. So if that's how you want to do it, then that number is going to go way up. I've seen, I think Carson Wentz is in the 20s, but the second year of the deal is when it starts to get expensive. These one-year deals, there's a little bit of a, all right, this is our last shot to pack on as much as we can with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, then after that, hey, we better have some young players that are ready to go. If that's your plan, you're either all in for this year, and so I guess you want Chris Jones, right? And you hope you hit at the bottom of each round with a couple of guys that can be difference makers to really add to your team. Or is that what they're doing? And the way they're going to get more picks is the trading Chris Jones, and they're going to take, you know, multiple picks to try to bring in more players, and that's going to be their plan.
Yep. Well, we both know that the Chiefs are going to have to bring in some cheap talent. I mean, that's crucial. I mean, the draft is important every year, so it just feels like this year is just they've got to hit on these five picks, and not having big numbers really puts them in a bind. You know, the draft is a percentage game, and the more picks you have, the better you do. So I think trading Chris Jones and or trading down makes a lot of sense for them this year of all years. That's not been Brett Veach's way, but doesn't mean they won't do that this year, because this is a real key time for them in acquiring some pretty good young players.
Yeah.
Mark Kaufman a lot.
So what would you do if you were in Brett Veach's shoes? What would you do with Chris Jones?
With Chris Jones?
Yeah.
With Jones?
Yes.
Hey, if I can get something good for him in a trade, I would take it. If I could get a good second-round pick, I think I would go for that. A good meaning, say, top half of the second round. You know, that doesn't sound like a lot for a guy who's a pretty good player like Chris Jones is. But you got to remember, there's two components to this. And he's going to be expensive to re-sign. And I just feel like that might be not a bad deal for them. You know, they got, you know, a similar type of player. I think I'd rather have Chris Jones than Dee Ford, but a similar type of player, a pass rusher, maybe not a complete player. The Chiefs got a late second round pick for Dee Ford last year. So, in the perfect world, you could do better than that. And if Chris Jones weren't going to cost a ton, and everybody in the world didn't know that by right now, then maybe the Chiefs could get away with less than that, get more than that. But I just, it's hard for me to see that right now, given where this situation is. But I would investigate a deal. I would take a deal because I think the Chiefs reasonably could get an impact player in the pick they could get for him.
Well, he was a second-round pick.
Yeah, he was. He sure was, yeah, no doubt.
I love seconds and thirds. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was top of the second round. You know, he was, what, 3, 4, 5 picks in, something like that. And, you know, there's just not a lot of guys who can do what Chris Jones can do. You know, I mean, the good pass rushers, interior pass rushers are tough to find. So it's just not on demand. I mean, yeah, they found one before. Doesn't mean they can do it again. But, it doesn't have to be a Chris Jones. It can be a guy who can have a similar impact at a different position, whether it's a corner or offensive line, whatever it might be, running back, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I think it'll be I think it's interesting because I think they've cleared up space to where they can kind of maneuver But they still need a corner, and I just can't believe. I think there will be another corner on this roster before they draft. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's logical. You know, one thing Brett Veach and really Dorsey before him really have tried to do is not go into any drafts with obvious needs, with positions to where they have to have. I think they've done a pretty good job in free agency and filling in holes before the draft as the years have gone on. You know, some years going back some years, I think the Chiefs really telegraphed their intent in the draft by what the roster looked like, but you don't see that much right now. But certainly right now, the corner is a huge roster hole for them. So, yeah, I think there'll be something done here in the next couple of weeks where the Chiefs have at least an option if there's not a corner that they like in the draft.
You get a vibe on where they're going to go in the draft, or just, I mean, listen, at 32, who the hell knows what's going to be there? But do you get a vibe? Yeah. I know we're all looking at who they've interviewed and who they've talked to. Everybody wants to put a running back, it seems like, now in the mock drafts next to them. Where do you think they go?
Until we see a corner who signs, whether it's Breland or somebody else, you know they're going to do that, whether it's in the first round, second, whatever. I'd be surprised. You know, they need to build up their numbers there. Even if they do sign a corner, I think they need to bring in a corner here. So I wouldn't surprise me to see that. You know, even though they've got all their top four wide receivers coming back from last year, the receiver, not necessarily in the first round, but, you know, given the depth of the wide receivers in this draft, it wouldn't surprise me to see the Chiefs pick another receiver. You know, Watkins is in his last year of his contract. DeMarcus Robinson is. So at this point next year, it looks like they might need somebody. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him go that direction. Defensive line, particularly if they're going to prepare for Chris Jones' departure, is another place. So I think they could go a lot of areas. But, you know, again, corner, until they bring a guy in, that's an obvious spot.
Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson. We're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program. Did DeMarcus Robinson just go, what the hell, when Sammy Watkins signed? Like, do you think he was signing back on and knowing he was going to be the fourth guy again?
Well, I mean, I don't think he was paying a lot of attention if he was stunned by this. I mean, the fact I expected Sammy Watkins, if he wasn't going to be here, he would have been gone a while ago, right? I mean, what's the sense of carrying that cap number if you're the Chiefs at the start of free agency if you don't really intend to keep him? So the longer this went on, the less surprising really the Watkins deal became. So if you're DeMarcus Robinson, you probably weren't paying attention, and I'm sure he asked the Chiefs, hey, what's it going to be here? But, maybe this was just the best of what he had out there. He felt like, you know, between combination of what they had going offensively, quarterback and all that, and offensive scheme, that he's just best off staying here and giving it a try again next year.
Is the 1 year is just like literally to have continuity, right? I mean, if we didn't have the COVID thing going on, would he be back?
You know, the receiver draft is really deep. And do you want DeMarcus Robinson 4 years into his contract for a pretty good price, or do you want to see what you can get out there at a better price? You know, I think maybe DeMarcus Robinson would have been okay, not great, but maybe okay if he'd held out until after the draft. And maybe there was a team that got left with nothing in the draft that would like a receiver. And then DeMarcus Robinson might have been pretty attractive to some team. So, I do think that maybe he could have waited for a little while and benefited from that. But I just think there's a lot of teams that are looking at this wide receiver draft and going, we can get what we want for cheap, and we don't have to pay good money for it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. They're one by one, they're kind of trickling in news for us here in the media. a little bit at a time, giving us something to chew on. But this was definitely the biggest move, and we'll see what it means for Chris Jones. I think that's the big question that continues to loom out there. And I think we're going to get a decision by draft day. They're either going to get him signed or they're going to get him traded by draft day. That's what I think is going to happen when it's all said and done. Adam, Final Four time, brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Does Sammy Watkins get to 8 touchdowns this year, yes or no?
Get to 8 touchdowns?
Yes.
I would say no. I'll take the under on that one.
He's got six?
He's got 6 in 2 years with the Chiefs. So, no, I'll take the under.
Yeah. You'll get the theme of at least these first three. Does he get the 65 catches? Another one of the escalators in his contract.
I'll take the under, yes. You get the same answer. He had 50-some last year? Maybe he gets close, but I'm going to say no. Tyreek Hill plays a full season, no, he won't get to 65.
He has only had 65 catches in a season once, and that came in his rookie year. The odds are long on that. He's only had 8 touchdowns twice. That came in his second year in Buffalo with 9, and then his year with the Rams, he had 8. So only 2 of his 6 seasons has he gotten to 8. Only once has he gotten to 65. And, of course, the next question is, does he get to 800 yards?
800 yards? If he stays healthy, I'll give him 800 yards. Maybe 60.
Yeah, but is he going to stay healthy? That's the whole question, right?
Is staying healthy?
Yeah, because in his career, he had 982 his rookie year. He had 1047 his second year. He hasn't come close to 800. He hadn't even topped 700 in the next 4.
Yeah. But how many full seasons has he played? He's played, what, maybe 2
one.
Full seasons of 16
one.
Games? Just one, right?
One.
Okay.
Yeah, rookie year.
So if he stays healthy, I'll give him, 60 for, 800 roughly in that neighborhood and 4 or 5 touchdowns. So, I don't see him busting through the any huge barriers. Not with what else the Chiefs have going on offensively.
Okay. Yeah, so we got no, and yes on the 3 escalators. And then finally, with extra time at home, what are you binge watching?
The truth is nothing. Maybe a little bit. I got a pretty good library of Michigan State basketball, so I'm watching some of that. But I'm writing a book on the Chiefs right now, on their season, talking a little bit about their history. It'll be out hopefully around the time training camp starts in July or August. So I'm working on that right now. So I've been spending a lot of my free time doing that. So not a lot of TV stuff. I'm not a big TV guy anyway. So there hadn't been a whole lot of that for me, really. It's more writing than watching right now.
Yeah. All right. That sucks. That's a bad answer, but okay. More work. That's what you're doing. Adam, great stuff. Always great talking to you, buddy. Stay healthy and have a great weekend.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Adam Teicher from the ESPN.com does a great job covering the Kansas City Chiefs. He's brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Their spring sale is going on. And don't forget, you need your pool and hot tub spa supplies. They got it. They'll even deliver it to your house. And, of course, patio furniture. Take advantage of it. You got to have a place to sit and enjoy the beautiful weather. Not today, but we've had great weather for the last few days, and great weather back on its way here in a couple of days. Family Leisure, K10 and Ridgeview. Find them online at familyleisure.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
You're wonderful. I will listen to you every day. And what would this world be without you? You have just done so much for all of us, and I thank you very much.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. 2 Big 12 players have had 10 assists in a Final Four game. I asked for either one.
Assists in a Final Four game. Two how, from where? Wait, what were the details?
2 Big 12 players, 10 assists in a Final Four game.
Aaron Miles?
That's one. 10 against Maryland in 2002.
Yeah. And, where do I want to go? Tyshawn Taylor? Kirk Heinrich?
Happened against your team.
Against my team. So Heinrich. Who could have been in the semifinal? Who was it?
T.J. Ford of Texas, 13 against Syracuse in 03. Both those guys, their teams lost that game.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. All right, we talk hoops next. Jarrett Sutton's with us.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, before O.B. Toppin, who was the last sophomore to win the Naismith Player of the Year Award? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.